Looking to the future now, Dr. Simon Duffy has been director of the Royal Botanic Garden Sydney for coming up to 2 years now, and the Botanic Garden itself will celebrate its 210th birthday this year. Robin caught up with Dr. Duffy to find out how he and the Sydney Gardens are helping protect the nation's plants from the ravages of climate change.
Why did you choose to leave the animals and come to the plants?
Look, I think I was compelled to because of the power of plants. I'd been involved in conservation for a long time at Taronga, and I truly understood that everything is connected. Biodiversity is just not one thing, it's all of us, and we're all part of nature. And plants are at the basis of all of that. If you don't have plants, you don't have life. So I was compelled by that, but also who wouldn't want to work at the most beautiful location in the world?
It is beyond belief, isn't it? And I always used to, in the old days, having caught a ferry, walk through the gardens here, and they set me up for the day. It's quite wonderful. And how's it been in a year and a half since you've been here?
It's been truly amazing. I continue to learn so much every day. I continue to be inspired by the hundreds of people that work here and the hundreds of volunteers that also dedicate so much time to this organisation. And I'm also truly inspired by the science and the depth of scientific work that is undertaken every day at Botanic Gardens of Sydney.
Yes, it's vital, isn't it? Because it's not only intellectually stimulating, but it takes you right round the country. It's not just up the road and round the corner, but it's everywhere.
It is. I've been fortunate that in my year and a half since I joined, I've been out seed collecting at the Warrumbungles with our scientists. I've worked in grounds with the horticulturalists and preparing for spring. So yeah, the Botanic Gardens has work all over the state in science, but also in education.
The Warrumbungles, as I remember, one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world with a fantastic telescope on top.
That's it. I was out there. It was a very hot day, but we're out there collecting seeds to go to our seed bank, the largest seed bank in Australia. And that seed bank is one insurance program against extinction.
And you've moved it. How did you actually do that?
It was done before I came, but the team, many, many years in planning. And what I was most impressed with, Robin, is the foresight of the future. So, you know, there's many examples when people are building new facilities and you're building a plant bank, and this is millions of seeds that have to be stored here and they're used for science. And then also our herbarium, which is the dead plant collection, which is used for science and education and art and many other things. But when you go to these institutes out at our Australian Botanic Gardens, Mount Annan, I was blown away by its future foresight. It's got room for growth, more seed collection, more herbarium specimens, which will contribute to science. So the team did an amazing job.
I remember a story, I think it was to do with the Nazis invading Russia. There had been part of the area which was a seed bank, and as the local population starved, especially the scientists, the temptation briefly was to cook up the seeds. They may left them untouched and enjoyed the famine as much as they could.
Yeah. I think there's probably a story behind every seed. And when you visit the seed bank or the Australian Herbarium of New South Wales, one of the things that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up was going into the vaults, and these vaults made out of compressed soil, earth. They're beautiful, but also very, very important. Specimens are under temperature control. Is Brett Summerall, our chief scientist, a wonderful man and scientist. His party trick is to pull out one of the folders from the store and open it up, and it's one of Sir Joseph Banks' Banksias, and with Sir Joseph Banks' handwriting on the label, and it just gives you goosebumps.
It's incredible, isn't it? Because in the early days, the Europeans, many of them actually going to various parts of Australia in the West, and you can go to Oxford and see some of those seeds that they collected way back, but they've got them here as well. What about the involvement of the citizen scientists, which can be in the field and bring back all sorts of things from slime molds to Wallamai Pines.
That's it. There's a huge story, which I know you've told before, about the Wallamai Pine and coming across this unusual plant and then bringing it back to the Botanic Gardens and having it identified. We have our scientists working out in the field every day and working with partners and universities, and we do things like bio blitzes, and we're out there all the time collecting new information and bringing that back to the organisation with the intention to share it, but also with the intention for the conservation of nature. We're working on things as well like diseases. That's a huge threatening process to our future, and the team here are working on ways we can address some critical, wicked pathogens like Phytophthora and myrtle rust, which is really, really important work.
Phytophthora infestans trying to attack those vineyards I treasure.
Yeah, totally. All of us treasure those. But the team here are working on that. We now have a PCR test similar to what we all went through during COVID to be able to test if a plant in the soil has Phytophthora, and then working on what's the next development of that, how we can wash the soil so that we're not spreading these diseases around Australia, which really, really threatens plants and biodiversity.
Yes, could you sum up really the effect of some of the new sciences and the new technologies, such as looking at genomes, in other words, how you have to do so much more to get the full story of what's going on environmentally and in terms of, well, the different species we have?
Yes, so one of our science labs here at Botanic Gardens is called the Research Centre for Ecosystem Resilience. So this team are amazing, and they specialised in genome sequencing plants that can tell you how healthy those plants are from inbreeding or genetic diverse perspective. So they can go into a forest and they can see that maybe through unintentional plantings or through fragmentation of forests, that particular areas are inbred, basically, and they're not going to thrive because they are inbred. So with that sequencing work, they can then say, well, if you want that forest to thrive, go over here to another part of Australia, collect some DNA from there, whether it's in plants or seeds, bring it back, let the natural process happen, and that forest will thrive much better. So they're using that program called Restore and Renew to help provide free advice to regenerators about how to build up these better resilient, because if a forest is thriving, it's more resilient places, but also it does predict impacts of climate change. So it can predict which plants were going to do better in a changing climate, and they can give you advice on what to plant where.
Restore and Renew, yes. Well, the picture I'm getting from a number of places, including here, Royal Botanic Garden in Sydney, the oldest scientific institution with an European origin, 1816, as we've said before, and we'll say it again. It's part of a collaborative work across Australia that includes not just all the different branches of science, but corporations and universities, you name it. There's the potential there is actual breathtaking as long as the support is maintained. Or am I being too romantic?
Not at all. I love it. Our vision is plants at the heart of a thriving world. And we exist to inspire enjoyment. Come and enjoy our beautiful botanic gardens. We exist to inspire learning. But ultimately, we exist for the conservation of nature. So we partner with all of those, as you mentioned, universities, other scientific groups, schools. We partner with all of them with the ultimate goal of conservation of nature.
And your artists are pretty good. You keep having wonderful exhibitions, and I've been to several of them. Finally, what about your own background? What sort of ologist have you been?
Yes, so my background originally was in education. And then I studied further in behavioral psychology around how do you inspire people to make better choices for conservation. And that's been a very big passion of mine, and implemented some things in my previous role, which I was director at Taronga Zoo, and how do you compel people to make better choices in their everyday life for conservation, because ultimately we're the ones that have created the problem and we need the ones to change to be able to fix this problem that we're in. That's been my passion and my background.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Simon Duffy, Director of the Royal Botanic Garden in Sydney. And it truly is a lovely place to spend a few hours. Next week, you might have heard the story about elephants being afraid of mice, but what about these? I find out how scientists in Africa are using this information to keep pesky pachyderms away from crops. The Science Show can be heard in full on Saturdays at noon and Monday at 4 a.m. Our short version is Monday at 1:30 p.m. and Tuesday 9:30 p.m. with the full version and individual stories available online and on ABC Listen. The Science Show is produced by David Fisher, and I'm Belinda Smith.